The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Oh, it's he said, he said. Is it though? This is the connection I'm trying to make. Watch, boys and girls, how I do this. Gather around, young children. Uncle Max has a story to tell you. It's how we do it in the media. See, Kyrie said some stuff on KD's podcast. And then LeBron said some stuff, and I believe Kyrie said it yesterday late morning, something like that. And then LeBron said something like in the afternoon. And what I'm trying to figure out is if what LeBron said is connected to what Kyrie said. Let's start from the beginning, or in the beginning. Kyrie's on Durant's et cetera's podcast. And by the way, why is KD even having Kyrie on a podcast during the finals, right? Because anything that happens right now, anything they say is going to make waves. KD is smart in terms of building a media business. Everyone's like, media empire. Oh, stop with the empires. Not always a media empire. Right now, it's a media business he's trying to create here. He's created. He's trying to expand. Anyway, the duo was asked who would take a big shot with 10 seconds left, and Kyrie Irving said the Nets would have the luxury of not having to just rely on one guy. Here's the quote. Depends on who's hot. Quote, I don't see it as anything other than that. One thing I've always been comfortable with, and here it is, everybody, which is I felt like I was the best option on every team I've played for down the stretch. This is the first time in my career where I can be like that. Let's just call it mother sucker. Can make that shot too. Time out, Kyrie. I understand why you think you're the better option than LeBron late in the game. You're a better shooter than LeBron. And you're as good a finisher as anyone who ever lived under the rim. However, first let's look at the veracity of the statement. As though, like, up until now that you have KD, who's a purer shooter than LeBron, obviously, as you are, until now, you should be taking the last shot, really? Because Kirk Goldsberry, and by the way, you got to pick up Sprawl Ball. For everyone who's like, I wish I had a copy. You know, I may have a copy of Sprawl Ball. I may get it during the commercial break and bring it just to show you on camera on ESPN News what it looks like. For those who are like, oh, Max, don't tell me about a book. That's not why I watch TV or listen to the radio. You hear about books. But this book has pictures. Not just pictures, guys, but it's like perfectly laid out so it illustrates what he's talking about with colorful, not exactly charts, but like depictions of what he's talking about. You will love Sprawl Ball. I can't recommend it enough. Anyway. About the basketball revolution, you know. Anyway, Kirk Goldsberry of ESPN fame? I don't know. Not notoriety. It's not for something negative. Of ESPN, I'll say fame, Raj. I think we can say that. Kirk Goldsberry has a degree of famousness.
Oh, yeah. It works for me. I like that.
All right. He has it. Now, look at this. In late and close situations, call it clutch time, crunch time, we have a huge sample size to compare LeBron and Kyrie under pressure. How does he define it? Well, the industry standard has become under 5 minutes within 5 points, right? 5 minutes or fewer, 5 points or less in terms of the score, time and score. What do the players on your team do under those circumstances? In the regular season and playoffs, LeBron and Kyrie played 3 seasons together. 2014-15, 2015-16, 2016-17. 3 seasons together. Here's what they did within 5 minutes and 5 points at the end of a game. Kyrie took 210 shots, LeBron took 305. So LeBron took almost 100 more shots than Kyrie. Kyrie thought, well, I should have been taking those shots. Kyrie, it's not like you didn't take plenty of shots. You took 40% of the shots there, and LeBron took 60 of between you two. What was Kyrie's field goal percentage? 37%, and I'm rounding up. It was really 36.6. I'll call it 37%. LeBron's 42%. So LeBron is shooting 5% better from the field than Kyrie. In percentage points, as a percentage of what they're actually shooting, which is two separate things, LeBron is more than 10% better than Kyrie in those situations. Out of a combined total of 500 shots between the two of those guys. How about from three? Well, listen, what about the outside shooting? Kyrie's a much better three-point shooter than LeBron, right? Unless it's within 5 minutes and the score is within 5 points. 27% from three for Kyrie, 37% from three for LeBron under those situations. That's 10 percentage points higher for LeBron, but those are percentage points. In terms of what percentage better than Kyrie is LeBron, it's more than 25% better than Kyrie. So anyone could do statistics. People, statistics are records of events. If you got out the tape of all these games, late and close, you would see the shots. These are just recorded. When Kyrie hits it, you record it. When he misses it, you record it. Same with LeBron. LeBron took almost 100 shots more under 5 minutes within 5 points, and they're on the same team over the course of three seasons, a huge sample size. LeBron was 10% better from the field than Kyrie, 25% better from three under those circumstances. So what is Kyrie talking about? He's just wrong. Then LeBron responds. LeBron says the thing about him and AD, or is it a response? This is pure conjecture on my part. I believe LeBron said the following hours after it was made public what Kyrie said. Yes,
we got the team on it. We got the team on it. And that is confirmed. Kyrie was first. And, you know, LeBron here is everything. Right. And that was a response.
But this is what the media does. Here's a peek behind the curtain, boys and girls. This is what I said. Gather around, young children. Uncle Max will show you how this works. I don't know if LeBron's really responding to Kyrie. I don't know. But all I really need to establish here to make some radio is to say Kyrie did it first and then LeBron said it. And I'm connecting the dots, or you can connect the dots. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's just coincidental. Maybe. LeBron has rabbit ears. He does. He hears what people say. It matters to him. Especially Kyrie. Come on now. And Kyrie says that, and LeBron comes back. Why it works with AD and me? Because there's no jealousy. Because everyone knows their roles. Ooh. And why might that be a response to Kyrie? Well, you know what? Listen to... you can hear it straight from the horse's mouth. Here's LeBron James talking about why he and AD work well together.
We're not jealous of each other. I think that's the best thing. In professional sports, you have guys that join forces. Call them alpha males. That's what they call them. Two guys that's been dominant in a specific sport on their own respective teams. And they get together and they talk about, okay, how dominant they can be. And they talk about this is going to be this and that. I believe jealousy creeps in a lot, and that is the absolute contrary of what we are. We know who we are, we know what we're about, and we want the best, seriously, every single day, both on and off the floor for one another. We're not jealous of one another, and I think that you align that with respect. I don't think think the sky's the limit.
Well, here's the thing. It's a lot easier to not be jealous when one guy's the primary ball handler, the other guy's the big. Then when, you know, whatever you want to say about Kyrie and LeBron, they're both used to being the primary ball handlers on a team. So I get it's easier, but still, doesn't that sound like LeBron's responding to what Kyrie said? And what is Kyrie really saying? Because he also said about Steve Nash, it's not really like we have a head coach. Sometimes I could be head coach. KD, sometimes you'll be. And then Steve Nash. Everything Kyrie says is almost always ego protection. Ego protection. He wants you to know how smart he is, but he never says anything smart that I've heard. He wants you to know that LeBron's not the boss of me, basically, right? In baby terms. I should have been taking that last shot. But on this team, KD, who's a little closer to age than Kyrie and who's teamed up with him, the two of them went willingly to team up together, right? You're like, we're together, right? We're co-captains here. It's us against, you know, everyone else. So it could be me or it could be you, KD. But with LeBron, very much LeBron's team, he's not the boss of me. He shouldn't have been taking all those shots. Now, Steve Nash is head coach. I don't really know. Who says we need to have a head coach? He's not the boss of me. He has to stick his chest out. Kyrie is all ego protection. And here's the thing, guys. I haven't walked in Kyrie's shoes. And I know I bring it up a lot. I almost feel bad about doing it at this point. But he did question whether the earth is round. Like in stupid 101, right? Like the first thing you learn is about the shape of the earth. And I guess if you're very stupid, you believe it's flat. Now, Kyrie afterward was saying, no, he was just questioning knowledge. That's nonsense. First of all, I don't believe him. And secondly, I wish I did, because you have to be so paranoid to believe that the earth is not round. But not only that, irresponsible to say it out loud when kids are listening, really. Especially in this age of disinformation, people purposely telling you the wrong thing. How could you say something like that? But he did. But let me tell you something about Kyrie. When I was his age, I couldn't lead an NBA team, even if I had the talent to do it on the court. To be a great NBA champion like LeBron James, you have to be a one-in-a-million-plus athletic talent. You also have to be a one-in-a-million person, because your whole life people are telling you how great you are. You're always the best player on every basketball court you ever walk onto. You're being paid tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars. Commercials, all this stuff. You're being idolized by people all over the world. And then also you're supposed to have enough sense of self and humility, even though you also have to be very competitive with a big ego, to know how to lead others, to not have a fragile ego yourself. It's very difficult. I'm not claiming I could have done it even if I had Kyrie's talent when I was his age. I don't think I could have. LeBron can. So it's not that it's easy. A lot of people can't do it. And you know one of the people who can't do it? Kyrie Irving. That's why he's been unable to lead in his NBA career. If he ever got that figured out, look out. Because his skill level is, you could argue, unmatched in NBA history. That was Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. I am joined now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by somebody I've really wanted to have on the show to tell the story of Heat Coffee, of Jimmy Butler, the great Malika Andrews, ladies and gentlemen. Malika, you there?
But I need another cup of coffee.
Why is that?
I am tired. I mean, I don't know. Something broke last night in the non-sports world news. It just kept me up reading all night long.
Malika, you and I did Woj's podcast one day, and it never aired. And I'm kind of glad it didn't air, because it was about the Knicks and James Dolan.
Yeah,
so I saw
your
red.
Therapy session.
I just went
your
off.
Therapy session.
And I
yeah,
was. I don't know if therapy. I was mansplaining or whatever they call that, but I definitely wasn't letting you get a word in edgewise. I was a little embarrassed, so I'm glad it never aired. Were you very frustrated doing that Woj pod with me?
Oh, no, it was so clear that you were so emotionally disturbed, under distress. Like, if you were in, let's say you committed a crime during that time, I'm not sure you would have been fully held accountable because you were so emotionally, you were so upset. I think they would have claimed you had some sort of emotional disturbance and would have let you get some sort of psychiatric help. But
yes.
I can't hold you fully accountable for mansplaining in that sort of situation. All is forgiven. I'll give you a couple of good numbers for some good bars and some good therapy.
Yeah, well, there you go. Thank you very much. And by the way, any crime I've ever committed, or anyone's ever committed who's listening to this, pales in comparison to the crime against humanity that has been the New York Knicks, lo, these many years. Malika, I thought you wrote such a great piece on ESPN.com about the coffee situation, Jimmy Butler and the assistant coach. Please tell the story.
Well, in the bubble, let me start with this. I don't really like to talk about myself, but I will say I am a coffee aficionado. I can sniff out a good cup 100 miles away. And so when I got to the bubble a week and a half, 2 weeks before the players did, I had to find where I was going to get my fix. And I tried the coffee in the rooms. No, not good. I tried the lobby coffee shop that they said they could make a latte. They lied. They can't. I tried the coffee shop in the hotel room, in the lobby of the players' hotel before they got there. That was good, but then it closed before players even arrived because it didn't get enough foot traffic. And so I had to order my own coffee setup. So that sets the scene for just how hard it is to find appropriate caffeine here. So when Jimmy Butler arrived and saw this dearth of coffee, this coffee desert, he decided, you know what? I'm going to open up a coffee shop out of my hotel room. And because I am surrounded by millionaire athletes, I'm going to upcharge them $20 a cup. Bam Adebayo told me a small, $20. Medium, $20. Large, $20. Two small, $50. Which doesn't make any sense.
So wait. It's $20 for any size, but it's $50 if you want two.
According to Bam Adebayo, that is.
No, Malika, doesn't that sound a little bit like Jimmy Butler logic?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm. And so Jimmy was making mocha latte, frappuccino, caramel, supreme deluxe. And Brandon Gilliam, their head athletic trainer, looked around and said, you know what? I brought a French press. I brought a pour over. I can make coffee too, and I'm just going to charge $5 for that coffee because my video coordinator, the coaches, all of this, they're not going to be able to afford $50 for two smalls like some of our
Jimmy Butler's not thinking about the little man. Look at that. Not everyone makes NBA money, Malika.
Not everyone makes NBA money. And speaking of the little man, we needed Little Face Coffee to compete with Big Face Coffee. So now there are two coffee
operations. Hold on. Slow down. I know you wrote this, and I'm sure you've told people before. But why was it called Big Face Coffee in the first place? Jimmy Butler, as I recall, he left his door open, right? And he hung a sign called Big Face Coffee on his door?
That's exactly right. It is an inside joke that he has deemed not appropriate for print. Okay. And so he wouldn't let me print it, but I can tell you it's a nod at money. It's a nod at just how much money he is raking in here. Mm-hmm. And so he decided to open Big Face Coffee and Little Face Coffee, and it is grown in lore. There are T-shirts, there is merchandise, they are having logos printed on different coffee cups, and the players, the favorite drink from Jimmy is the vanilla latte. He says he makes it with love. And that's what makes it so special. And Brandon is still making his black coffee every day for the trainers. And Brandon,
so wait,
actually,
let me get this. So Little Face Coffee is only black, right? Like
only
he's
black.
Not doing anything fancy.
Nothing,
Jimmy Butler's
no
a big barista now. He knows how to do everything. Which, by the way, I got my own technique, and I can do it with very low sugar, Raj. Listen to this. I do it with a little of that Ready Whip coconut cream, right? So there's no dairy, low sugar. I do a little black coffee. It could be the Illy or the Starbucks, doesn't matter. And I do a little chocolate almond milk with no sugar and a little cinnamon on top. I also have barista skills. I'm just going to put it out.
You like frill coffee, so you'd be a big face guy. See, I'm more of a, I like the black with a splash of milk, but I do love a latte. I do love a good latte,
Malika,
so maybe I'm more of a big face.
I'm 47 years old. I was drinking black coffee straight in enormous quantities for 20-something years. My stomach can't take it anymore. It needs to get cut with something, you know?
So I'm in my prime of,
You're in your coffee drinking prime.
Coffee.
That's right. You're a reporter making your way in the world, climbing up the ladder. You're getting the scoop. You're up early, you know, in bed late, working around the clock. You need that black coffee. That's right. And your body can still handle it. That's right.
I need it. But, you know, the players are all trying to get a stake in Big Face Coffee. Tyler Herro doesn't drink coffee. He wants them to expand to blended juices. Bam Adebayo wants him to start making donuts, to which Jimmy said, man, how the F am I going to make a donut out of my hotel room? Mm-hmm. And Bam and Goran both want a cut. They want, Bam suggested 25% for him, 25% for Goran, 50% for Jimmy. And Jimmy said, you know, man, I'm not good at math. All I know is I get 100% and you guys can get whatever's left over. So that's what's going
that's
on
in the
coffee world of the bubble. And Jimmy, you know, Jimmy's agent, Bernie Lee, has said that he has now 7 out of 10 calls he gets are about coffee. And so this could be potentially not just, you know, Jimmy applied for some business patents, not necessarily to open a coffee shop right now, but I wouldn't be surprised if you could buy Jimmy Butler blend from what Bernie has told me in a store near you imminently.
It's so good. It's one thing to like have a little scheme like that. It's another thing when it gets covered and then you can get rich off it. You know, Newman's Lemonade, Paul Newman, way back in the day, started it for charity. And it was such a multi-billion dollar enterprise, partly because people felt it was good. They're buying it, you know, and the money was going to good causes. That he later in life, I believe, said if I would have just kept like a 5% stake, he would have made more money in that than movies. All right, Malika, normally I think you do excellent work. I would have you on to talk basketball. The reason I like this story is because I'm trying to rack my brains to think of an interesting way to talk about the Heat right now. They're down Bam. They're down Dragic. They're overmatched anyway. And that's the most interesting thing I could come up with. I said, let's get Malika on to talk this. Do you have anything you can say about this series that can get me interested in it as a competitive event rather than just a coronation?
Oh, the only glimmer of hope that I can offer you, a recovering Knicks fan who's looking for some hope in the East, or any other Heat fan, is that Kendrick Nunn has not really been a centerpiece for this team since he got coronavirus and arrived to the bubble 25 days late. And he saw some serious minutes when Bam Adebayo and when Goran Dragic went down. And in those 20 minutes he played, he had 18 points and 5 rebounds. And although the Heat trailed most of the game, that's when they closed the gap the most. Also, Tyler Herro knows he did not play well in game one. He was nervous. He's the first kid born in the 2000s to play in a conference finals game. If Kendrick Nunn can play the way he did for a longer period of time in this game, which Eric Spoelstra seems to have the utmost confidence that he can, then potentially that could mean that you'd see something a little bit more interesting than that decimation that we saw the other night. The other thing is, while Goran and Bam Adebayo are both listed as doubtful for this game, and I do not expect them to play, and there is a serious doubt that I have over whether or not Goran could be available, you do have to remember that plantar fascia is something, if they chose to go this route, they could inject his foot and he could play. That doesn't mean he could play well, but he could go that option. And Bam Adebayo, same thing. Neither of them have been ruled out for the series yet. That doesn't mean they'll be 100% healthy. That doesn't even mean they'll play. But it's not, you know, there's a small glimmer there if you choose to see it. Otherwise, just drink coffee.
Oh, no, that's you're doing yeoman's work just then trying to figure it out. But look, the fact of the matter is, and they're telling me I got a wrap, but the fact of the matter is, the Lakers have the two best players in the series by far, two MVP-level players. Traditionally, that team always wins. Like, once every 10 or 15 years, the other kind of team wins, which is a collective effort of some all-stars but no MVP-caliber players. So, like, the Lakers, in a draft, when you just mixed up all the players in the team, LeBron would go one, AD would go two. Then the Heat would have, like, the next five guys taken. The problem is, if you take two of those guys out and they can't play... I mean, the Heat have virtually no chance to win. The great Malika Andrews, ladies and gentlemen, you can check her out on various ESPN platforms. I recommend it. The Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by Shell V Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. That's 888-729-3776. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Text LEBATARD to 77333 for a chance at 10 grand plus a virtual meet and greet with the Dan LEBATARD Show gang. Advance your audio. Auto. Did I say audio? Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts. Limit one entry per day. See advanceautoparts.com for details. Adam Gase cannot be long for the head coaching world. I mean, this is his response to what would you say to fans who don't want to see you as a head coach past tonight?
We're working to get this thing right. I mean, I'm not happy about this. I mean, I know we can play way better than this. I know we can not beat ourselves and do the things we're doing.
Really? You know that? Because I don't know that, coach. Not with you as the coach. And by the way, Greg Williams... I always thought that Bountygate was overblown because it's a full contact sport, not dissimilar to boxing. You want to physically punish your opponent in the course of playing a game. And as long as you're not telling them to do something illegal, what's wrong as a defensive coordinator to say, I want you to punish them to make it harder? Like, I'll give you a bonus, like a little like in within the team kind of incentive, you know? It's not even really about the money. Here's $100 for a hit or something. It's about the ego stuff. Like, I'm the one who got to do it. Knock him out of the game. Even if you were to say, hey, we want to break his rib or something like that. In boxing, that's the name of the game. Beat him to the body. Kill the body, the head will die, is the old expression in boxing. And in football, maybe you'd like to think of it as more civilized. It's not. And if you can incentivize your team to, within the rules, physically injure the opponent, that's actually a good thing. Like, if they cart the quarterback off and you haven't broken any rules of football, you might, as a person, feel bad for the player. You don't want to see anyone injured. But as a competitor, that's part of the game. It helps your team. So I always thought Bountygate was overblown, but Warren Sharp of Sharp Analytics, you can follow him at Sharp Football, reposted audio of Greg Williams. We've got to do everything in the world to make sure we kill Frank Gore's head. We want him running sideways. We want his head sideways. Little 32. We want to knock the bleep out of him. He has no idea what he's in for. When he's on the sidelines, we got to turn that bleeper over, turn their coaches over, turn the spectators over, go get that bleeper on the sidelines. It's not pretty when you hear it, you know? Remember me. I got to be the first one. He's rubbing his fingers together like you get money. Go lay him out. We got to kill the bleeping head. Every single one of you, before you get off the pile, affect the head. Now, in American team sports, a sport like football in particular, provided you're not asking your team to break the law, and when you get off the pile, do something to affect the head, that's breaking the rules. The rules, not the law. The rules, that is. Okay, you might even admire it, some of you, if it leads to success. But Warren Sharp tweeted the following about Greg Williams. A man led a defense that surrendered 37 points to a winless team that flew across the country on a short week, led by an undrafted third-string quarterback, making his first NFL start without his top wide receiver and running back. That's what Greg Williams did as he's imploring his team to hurt the other team. By the way, how many roughing the passer penalties does Greg Williams' defense have so far this season? Six. Two of them last night. If you're Greg Williams, and they have you on tape doing this, and you've already been in trouble for this, and your team is being more thoroughly penalized than they should be, and you're losing, boy, that's a bad look. I mean, Gase is the number one problem, right? But how do you like Greg Williams as your defensive coordinator? The whole Jets franchise is a mess. It's a mess. By the way, I said I was going to show you Sprawl Ball before, Raj. I went and got it. Check it out. I want everyone to see this. See this?
Okay.
This is why. That's why when I say it's like an NBA book, like people think books. Don't tell me about books. Kirk Goldsberry. Here at ESPN, you know, I'm bad with charts. I can't do charts. People on Twitter, they put up charts, political charts and other charts, and the X and Y axis and what's happening, and it's inverted, and I who could follow all this stuff? But there's some people are better expositors of ideas, meaning they can relate the idea better than others. They can simplify it. And Sprawl Ball is one of, like, Kirk Goldsberry really has a gift for this. So, like, for example, he's talking about Area 31. See this? Here's Area 31. And then he tells you the years between 2013-14 and 15-16, NBA shooters made 31% of their shots from here. And you don't get extra points from that, you know, on the block, right? But they made 41% of their shots corner three, which is also worth more points. And then he goes on to explain why. It's not that it's a more difficult shot even. It's that the refs allow more physical contact there. You can play defense differently there. So it's a low percentage shot. Like, it's stuff like that throughout the book as he explains the evolution of NBA basketball, Sprawl Ball. I cannot recommend it highly enough. I will get to some calls, Raj. I want to get to some calls. I want to prove that I can take phone calls. Maybe I'll talk to you a little bit about it instead of actually doing it. What do you think about that? You and I will just talk about me taking phone calls, and I'll never actually take them.
How would you start it off? What would you say, Max? What would you say?
I would say I have already started it. And then I would say we could debate about whether the phone calls will actually add value to the show or whether I should just skip them and talk. You know, there's a lot to talk about always.
But you make promises to the people.
Hmm. All right. Maybe I'll take a phone call.
You don't have to.
Have I used up all the time yet, Raj, so I don't have to talk to the people yet?
How much time you got, Cliff?
Oh, man, we got to get the break.
Is the team favored in the Cowboys-Browns game? No Doubt is next. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out. By the way, Roger, I really am taking phone calls. I'm going to do it. Let me just see who's on the bank so I can tease everybody. Let me see. I see Larry in Cali. I see Trevor in San Francisco. Leroy in Newark. Ted in New Jersey. Eli in Queens. You just wait. I'm like the ice cream man that Eddie Murphy talked about, right? The ice cream truck always drove that extra block. Let's see how fast I can get these kids to run. See how long you'll wait to talk to the likes of me. It's a great honor.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. No Doubt is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life.
No Doubt is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
Oh, Raj, you hit me where you know where I live right there. I get right. Money. Go ahead. Come on, gambling edition, huh?
Something different up there. That's right. That's right. Gambling editions. Here's what we're going to do. You're 0-3 Giants.
Yeah.
They are coming out to L.A. out here to play the 2-1 Rams. Guess what? The Rams are 13-point favorites, but I got a question for you, Max.
Yeah.
Your Giants are going to shock the world.
I know you never, like, don't. If someone's giving you 13 points, take them.
That's not how you play.
Nah, son.
Oh, man.
You're saying that the Giants beat the spread? No. This is what I'm saying. If someone's giving you 13 points, always, like, just take the points. Nope. I think the Rams will cover. That's how bad I think the Giants are without Saquon, Darius Slayton, and the way Daniel Jones has looked. You know, if you are Joe Judge and you coach the way he coaches, it's very difficult to begin that way, to begin your career that way without a resume that says you have success being like a hard-nosed, you know, old-school coach and all that stuff. If you're going to be that, boy, you better have success right away. He has not. What's next?
Okay. All right, next one. Now, you tease it. I'm going to throw this in there. A little bit different. No, I'm not going to put it up there because we don't have the graphic. But check it out. The 2-1 Colts take on the 3-0 Bears. Don't look now, but these are two good teams. Colts are favored by 2.5, but the winner is a contender.
Oh, I thought you – the question is the winner's a contender? No Doubt. You know why? You know who's going to win?
Yeah.
The underdog Bears at home. Nick Foles is the quarterback of that team now. Nick Foles, Super Bowl MVP. Every time Nick Foles has had a real coach, he's balled. He was a baller at Arizona. Rod, you remember Matt Barkley's the best other than Andrew Luck in the Pac-12? No.
I heard all that.
Osweiler's, no. Nick Foles was clearly better than Barkley and Osweiler in that, you know, in that conference. He turns pro when he had Chip Kelly as a coach, 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. When he had Jeff Fisher, he was no good because no one's ever good with Jeff Fisher. And now he goes back to the Eagles. He has real coaching again. He leads them to a Super Bowl, wins Super Bowl MVP over Tom Brady. And the very next year, when Wentz goes down again, plays them into the playoffs, beats the Bears at Soldier Field, almost beats the Saints at New Orleans. They got Nick Foles. Don't look now. Don't look. Just watch. Go ahead.
All right. Check this out. Another undefeated team, the 3-0 Bills. Josh Allen and them coming out to Las Vegas to take on the 2-1 Raiders. Bears will cover those 3 points, man. A field goal got you with the 3.
They will. I think the Bills cover. I like the Bills more than the Raiders. I think the Raiders are a competitive team, but I think the Bills are an actually good team. They had a really good defense last year, and Josh Allen was emerging. Because, by the way, this doesn't only happen with black quarterbacks, Raj, right? Like, in order to perpetrate that myth about quarterbacks not running and keep black people from being black men from being quarterbacks, right? They also had to tell the white guys not to run. And it's just to stay consistent.
So, stay in the pocket, son.
Right. So then they realized eventually, like, wait, why is escaping pressure a bad thing? Picking up first downs, your legs a bad thing, exactly. And then dudes like Josh Allen, who are also athletic, they started building offenses around what he could do. And Josh Allen has emerged as a top quarterback this year after being an improving quarterback last season. And you put that with a real defense, it's going to be a problem. I like the Bills in that one to cover.
All right, that's real talk. All right, check this out. The 2-1 Patriots and Cam, they travel to the Chiefs, the Super Bowl champion Chiefs, who are 3-0. When's the last time you heard this, Max? KC favorite, but New England underdogs by 7 points? They got this one wrong, Max. They got it wrong.
They got it wrong. No doubt. They got it wrong.
Yeah.
See, it's confusing the way you set this up, Raj, because I'm thinking, wait a minute. Am I saying that they should be 7 point favorites?
Man.
Is that the no doubt part? Or am I saying, nah, son? No. What am I saying? No doubt to your question?
You know what? I'm just making this up as we go. I'm confused too, man. I'm just talking.
Okay, everyone's
go ahead.
Confused.
You're doing all right.
Whatever.
You're doing
all right. Fine. Whatever. There are no rules here. No, I think this is going to be a one possession game, so to speak, a one score game. But I don't think that's going to be by a touchdown. I think it comes down to the wire. I think Cam Newton's been great this year, and when he wasn't great against the Raiders, they still won by a bunch. But he was great against the Seahawks, and they barely lost. This is going to be a really, really tough game. I always like Mahomes and the Chiefs against everyone, but this is going to be a close game.
Okay, real quick. We don't have graph for this. We got time, though. The Browns are 2-1. They travel to the 1-2 Cowboys. Now, the Browns have scored 30 points or more the last two games, but the Cowboys are favored by 4. The wrong team is favorite, Max. Cowboys favored by 4. Wrong team favorite.
Nah, son. Because the Cowboys are desperate. Ah. The Cowboys, even though the division stinks, and you might be, like, think about this for a second. It's theoretically possible, like, and almost realistic. It's a non-negligible chance that the winner of the NFC East has 6 wins. Like, you might win the division with 6 games. It might be. It's not impossible. And so the Cowboys, they can be 1-3, but the Cowboys have Super Bowl aspirations every single season. This season, no different. They're going to be 1-3 after 4 games. Meantime, the Browns are 2-1. They're not as desperate. They're not supposed to come in first or second in that division.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.